This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, tech headlines you need to know, but first, the iPhone X. If you're one of the lucky few who locked in a pre-order this week, congrats. To the rest of you, good luck. Early orders for the highly anticipated 10th anniversary phone will surely be delayed. According to reporting in the Journal, after online pre-orders began in 50-plus countries, delivery estimates in the U.S., China, and Japan quickly rose to 5 to 6 weeks. Is this an early indication that demand is outpacing supply for a product Apple has had difficulties manufacturing, to say the least? Let's get right to the details. Joining us now via Skype is reporter of all things Apple for the Journal, Trip Mickle. Hey, Trip.
Thanks for having me, Don.
A lot of folks tried to order the phone 3 a.m. Friday morning through the Apple Store app specifically. The internet went on a Jif field day with how well that went or didn't go. We know from your reporting delays are going to be long. So, Trip, as far as good starts go, how smoothly would you rate the start of this rollout?
This has been the most confusing rollout that Apple's had in a long time, both for consumers and the marketplace, in large part because Apple's introducing three phones. The first two phones hit the market in September, and now we're waiting on this third phone, which is going to hit the market Friday. And as a consequence of that, there's just been a lot of questions about, okay, well, which phone is the best phone and what phone should I buy? And how do I make a decision about what phone to buy until I've seen all three of the phones? And so there's been a little bit of stagnation here as we wait for all these phones.
Well, yeah, it is such an odd rollout, specifically the move to sell the 8 and 8 Plus right ahead of the 10th anniversary iPhone X, giving people that choice, broadening the playing field. Is that proving to have been a good move? What can we make of how that went?
The demand for the iPhone 8 was some of the weakest demand we've seen for a new iPhone at any point in recent history. And it's hard to know what to make of that, in part, Tanya, because we're really comparing apples to apples and a banana this year, right? And
right.
It's just a little bit of a different calculus than we've had to make. And again, without this iPhone 10 in the market, it's really, really hard to know what consumer demand is. The second big question here is, what are consumers willing to pay, right? Because the iPhone 8 is more expensive than its predecessor. The starting price is $699, and the iPhone 10 starts at $999. And we just don't know how many people are willing to pay up to get those two devices.
On the plus side, for Apple at least, possibly, can we take these shipment delays as a sign that there is really high demand?
We can take this as a sign that there's healthy demand. Strong demand might be overreaching, and here's why. We know there have been production problems throughout the summer with this iPhone 10 product. We know that this product is going to be in short supply. And anytime you have short supply, it's really hard to make a determination just how strong demand is. And so the fact that shipment time slipped back to 5 to 6 weeks on advance orders for this new iPhone struck many as no surprise. And what the thing they were concerned about and what they were monitoring for was the potential that shipment times might only be 1 or 2 weeks. And that would signal that there's just flat out no demand. And that would have been a real red flag for the market, because that could have maybe signaled that people aren't willing to pay $999 for a new iPhone.
Yeah, things definitely seem a lot more complicated this year for reasons that we've gotten into, you know, but there always seems to be delay drama or what have you with every new phone. This does seem a little bit different. How does this rollout compare to previous years past?
This is certainly the most challenging rollout that Apple's had since at least the iPhone 6. And it wasn't necessarily the iPhone 6 that was a problem for Apple. It was the iPhone 6 Plus, which was the first time it had introduced a larger phone. And much like that instance, Apple is introducing a new phone design. And anytime it changes the phone design, it runs into challenges. I mean, you're overhauling the entire manufacturing process in that instance. And Apple's compounding that by introducing more new components and one really, really tough piece of technology to actually manufacture. And that's this facial recognition camera that goes on the front of the device. It's just extremely sensitive. It's got to be put together exactly right. And if it's not, then it doesn't function properly. And from what we're hearing from the supply chain, that's been a real challenge.
Could it all come down to, I mean, it seems to me that if you look at the age-old Apple loyalty coupled with the hype that this big 10th anniversary phone is seeing, it seems to me that that makes it a strong contender when you look at the big picture, when you look at, you know, ultimate sales, when all is said and done. How do analysts consider that Apple loyalty?
That is one thing that analysts keep coming back to. And there are two data points. One is that many consumers who plan to buy a new iPhone don't plan to do so. Some 40% actually don't plan to do so until they've seen the iPhone 10. And so that phone needs to be in the market and before we have a real clear indication of which phones people are going to buy. In other words, are they going to buy an iPhone 10, an iPhone 8, an iPhone 7, or an SE? We just don't know. And then the other thing that they're pointing to is that's okay. Not knowing is okay because consumer loyalty for Apple and iPhone devices is so high, it's at 95%, that there's very little chance you're going to lose customers. And so analysts have a strong sense of confidence that Apple has built a consumer base that is just really, really loyal. And just so you have a sense of that loyalty level, according to UBS, Samsung Electronics Co., which is the biggest challenger to Apple and makes the Samsung Galaxy S series, has a 53% loyalty rate. And that just indicates how diehard Apple consumers are.
Trip Mikkel, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Sonia.
Here is what else is happening in the world of tech. Not to scare you, but your computer may be making Bitcoin for hackers as we speak. The latest cyber attack sees criminals hacking all kinds of computers they can get their hands on. The goal? To secretly generate cryptocurrencies, hoping to cash in as the price of Bitcoin has soared to $6,000. What hackers are doing is essentially sneaking code that generates Bitcoin on compromised cloud computing servers and even websites which have been reprogrammed. Visiting browsers thus become unsuspecting digital currency generators. Third quarter earnings season is alive and well and is in full force for tech this week. Hogging a lot of the spotlight will be Apple, Facebook, and Tesla. Speaking of Tesla and high-tech cars of the future, Ford is getting in on the game. Ford has a driverless car developer called Argo AI, and it's just made a big move and purchased a company that makes special LiDAR systems. Why is that important? They're giving Ford greater access to special lasers that create a 3D view of the world. For more on these and other stories, head to WSJ.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.